Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Nun Nun Beis Amud Beis. The bottom line, Naflufanov. We learned in the Mishnah in the previous shiur. The Mishnah said Naflufanov Mikol Akriya. If an animal fell face forward, Mikol Akriya, from the sound of the digging, Chayiv. La'achra Mikol Akriya Potter. We're going to try to understand. The Gemara is going to try to help us understand what does this mean. Begins the Gemara Amar Rav. Lefonov means Lefonov Mamish. The fell face forward. La'achrov means La'achrov Mamish. It fell in backwards. Why is there a difference between if it fell in forwards or backwards? Says the Gemara Vezev Vezev Bar. Both situations, both scenarios are where the animal fell into a bar. And Rav is Tameh. And Rav is following the opinion that we learned Rav teaching us at the beginning of these sugyas. Dama Rav, Bar Shechayv Lof Taira, Lahav Loi, V'chayloi L'chavtai. As we learned when we began the sugya on the Afnun, Rav's opinion is that the reason there's a chayv by Bar is because of the foul air, the stagnant air that exists in a bar, not because of the impact of falling into the bar. So if the animal falls in face forward, that's the way that we try to explain, it breathes that bad air, and therefore, even if it ultimately dies, and when we see it dead, we see that it has all of its bones broken, and we would therefore certainly assume that it died because of those broken bones. Why was it weakened, say the Rishonim, that all of its bones could break? Because it smelled, it breathed that bad air. And therefore, that's the case that, according to Rav, it would be chayiv. On the other hand, if the animal fell in backwards, so it wasn't breathing that foul air. So the only reason it died is because of the impact. And as Rav taught us, the impact is not a reason for a person to be chayiv by a bar. V'shmul amar, Shmuel says it makes no difference if the animal fell in forwards or backwards. But bar, beimel fana beimel ma'achrov chayiv, makes no difference if it fell in forwards or backwards. Because Shmuel atamei, Shmuel is following his opinion, the hama l'havloi, the kol shkein l'chavtei. It makes no difference if it's the impact or the bad air, either reason is considered bar. Ask the Gemara, if that's the pshat, elahechi dami, La'achrov, Mikol Akri the Potter. The Mishnah clearly taught us, as we quoted at the beginning of our shir, that if it fell in the Akrov, you're Potter. So according to Rav, we've explained what, when, and why. But according to Shmuel, what is the case of Akrov that you're Potter? Answers the Gemara, Kigoy the Niska Babar, for Nafel Lachure Abar Chutz Labar. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. The case that Shmuel is referring to, that Yipater, is not when the animal fell into the bar. Because if the animal fell into the bar, we just finished explaining, it makes no difference how it fell into the bar, forwards or backwards, according to Shmuel Yubichayev. The case that the Mishnah says that Yipater is when the animal fell outside the bar, by the rim of the bar. And that's when the Mishnah says Yipater. And the Rishonim explain, why should it make a difference if the animal got hurt in the bar, versus if it got hurt outside by the rim of the bar. So Rishonim explained, and we're going to use this concept, Mitzvah Hashem, a lot. The truth is that, as we learned when we began the shiurim on bar is a chiddush. Because every time a bar does damage, it's really a grumma. Because somebody digs a bar today, and the damage can be done many years later. So it's certainly a case of grumma. The Torah says that even though it's a grumma, you're chayiv. But says Shmuel, you're only chayiv in the bar itself. But if the damage took place outside the bar, there is no chayiv. That's the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara. The Lechem Mishnah has another way of explaining the Gemara. He explains that the difference is if it fell from outside the bar, but there's a difference if it falls outside the bar face forward, or outside the bar backwards. That means, in the bar, Shmuel says it makes no difference. Outside the bar, there's a difference if it's forwards or backwards. Eisvei asked the Gemara on Rav's opinion. It says in a brisa, the bar, if the animal fell into the bar itself, bein lefana, bein la'achrav chayiv, it makes no difference if it fell in forwards or backwards, to yufta the Rav. Isn't this a clear refutation of Rav's opinion that distinguished between falling forwards or backwards? Amar Rav Chisda, answers Rav Chisda, may the Rav bar b'rishusay, Rav agrees that when the bar is actually in the rishus of the person who owns the bar, the chayiv. Meaning, as we learned earlier, again, when we began the sugyas, there are two places where a bar could be. There could be a bar b'rishus rabim, and there could be a bar in my rishus, where I was mafka rishusay v'loy mafka bayrei. And the Gemara is suggesting that when, this is the simple pshat, and we'll explain it a little more, that when is there a difference, according to Rav, between lahavloi or lachavtoi? That's regarding a bar b'rishus rabim, but a bar b'rishus yochid, even Rav will agree that yechayif lahavloi or lachavtoi. Mishum the amalei, because the nizik says to the mazik, me, manavshach, iba havlamis, if the animal died because of the hevel, it's your hevel, it's in your rishus hayochid. Iba chavtamis, chavtadidachu, or if it died because of the impact, the impact was in your rishus, because we're dealing with a bar in the person's own rishus. And to help understand the Gemara, we need to go back to understand Rav's explanation. We quoted Rav on top of the summit, and we learned Rav's opinion back on Daf Nun. The Rav says you only chayiv lahavloi v'loy lachavtoi. And when we learned Rav's opinion, we quoted a machloikis rishonim, a machloikis of the Ramban and the Ra'ah in understanding Rav. The Ramban's opinion was that the reason Rav says you're not chayiv for chavtoi, you're not chayiv for impact, is because if somebody fell in the Rishus HaRabim, the ground of the Rishus HaRabim is not belong to the Baal HaBor. So for the impact on that ground, the Baal HaBor is not chayiv. The Hevel, he created by digging the bar, so he's responsible. But the ground, he didn't create. That, in understanding this Gemara, is only possible in the Rishus HaRabim. Because the ground of the Rishus HaRabim is not mine. However, if the bar is in my rishus, there the ground is mine, and there Rav will agree that yechayiv not only for havloi, but even for chavtoi, and that's the case of the brayso that the Gemara just quoted. That's one approach in the Rishonim and Achronim. There's another approach in the Rishonim and Achronim. The Rishonim say, and we spoke, the Gra says this pshat, as we said earlier, bar is a chiddush, because as we said earlier, every case of bar is really a case of groma. But the Torah said that even though it's a grom yechayiv, what did the Torah say yechayiv? Only for the havloi, not for the chavtoi. But if we follow the Ra'ah's approach, so why should it make a difference if the bar is in the Rishus HaRabim or the bar is in the Rishus HaYochid? It's always a groma, and we always have the chiddush, only havloi, not chavtoi. Explain the Achroinim that you're right. If the bar were in the Rishus of the Baal HaBor, the reason the person is chayiv, if the shar falls in, it's not because of bar, and falls because of impact, because there is no chavata by bar. Then, if the bar is a my rishus, it's like my shar did damage. There's no difference between my shar that I own doing damage, or my bar which I own doing damage. Now, when my shar, or my bar that is like a shar does damage, there's no difference if it's chavloy or chavtoy. So the Gemara is saying that if somebody falls into a bar, which is a my rishus, there's no difference chavloy or chavtoy, because it has nothing to do with bar. It has to do with like it's a shar amazik. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different explanation. And as the Rishonim explained, it's not that Rav is necessarily disagreeing with Rav Chisda. He gives a different way of understanding the Braisa. Rav Amahokma Ma'iskinen v'mishapich. The Nafal of Ape, v'sapich v'nafal agabe. The Havla, the Hanibe, a Hanibe. He says, what happened in this Braisa It's not that the animal fell backwards. Because according to Rav, if an animal falls backwards, it's only chavot and not havloi, and you're not chayiv. But what happened if the animal, when it fell in face forward, and then it turned over and landed on its back? So you did have a moment of havloi before it turned over. And therefore, even though the animal landed up on its back, Rav will say that you're chayiv. Rav Yosef Omer, Rav Yosef says a third way of explaining this braisa. We're not talking that the bar did damage to the shor, but on the contrary, the shor did damage to the bar. What does that mean? Says the Gemara. Shehivish is name of. The bar, the animal falls into the bar, the animal is dirty, and it ruins the water in the bar. The there, loishno lefonov, it makes no difference how the animal fell into the bar, forwards or backwards. Mechayiv, yechayiv for ruining the bar. Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Chananya l'seruya l'rav. Rav Chananya learnt the Braisa, which corroborates Rav's opinion. The Braisa says, v'napel, atchi yefel derech nefila. Only when the animal falls in face forwards. Mikan amru, nafel l'fonu mikol akriya. If the animal fell in forwards, chayov, la'achrov, but if it fell in backwards, we call a kriya, because of the digging, zev potter. The zev is zebibar. And as the Rishonim point out, Shmuel clearly cannot agree with this braisa, because this braisa makes a difference between if it fell in forwards or backwards. And according to Shmuel, as we learned in Tapir Amid, it makes no difference if it fell in forwards or backwards. But Shmuel will not be so bothered, because Shmuel will say, I have the other braisa that we just quoted, also towards the top, that says clearly, Bebar ben lefona ben lachrov chayiv, and he's going to say there's a machloikis abraisis, and my opinion is corroborated by the braisa that we quoted on top of the Amid. Continues the Gemara. Amamar, nofel lefona mekola kriya chayiv. So our Mishnah spoke about a case that the animal fell into the bar because somebody was digging in the bar. And Rashi explains what is the case here. Rashi says that the case of the Mishnah is that there's a bar that was already created. And now somebody goes and is digging in that bar. And because of the sound of the digging, he causes the animal to get startled and the animal falls into the bar. And an animal falling into the bar because of the sound of the digging that startled him is only a grumma. It's only a grumma. And that's why he ought not to be chayiv. Because we know that a grumma ben nezakin is potter. Rashi brings two versions. Would it make a difference who is this person that's making this digging sound? One pshat Rashi says that the person who's digging is not the person who owns and created the bar. It's a different individual. Another pshat Rashi says is that it could be the same individual. How do we understand the machloikis or the two versions of Rashi? So the Chazanish says a beautiful pshat. Chazanish says, as we've been saying in our entire shir, that bar is a chiddush. Why is bar a chiddush? Because it's only a grum. But the Torah was machadish that this case, even though we've learned so many times, grum ben zaken is potter, this is an exception to the rule. Here, grum ben zaken is chayiv. So if it's the person who dug the bar that's now making the sound, there's a chiddush ha-Taira, according to one version of Rashi, that he doesn't have the general exemption of grum ben zaken. So if he's the one that made the bar, and he's also the one that makes the noise, he will be chayiv. That's why Rashi has to learn that it's two different individuals. There's one individual that dug the bar. He doesn't have the exemption of grumma. And there's another individual who is not the person that dug the bar. He's just making noise. And he has the standard exemption of grumma ben zaken. That's one pshat in Rashi. The other pshat in Rashi, explains the Chazon Ish, is even though a person make a bar doesn't have the exemption of grumma, it's only when he's making a bar. That doesn't mean he now loses that exemption. And when he's making noise, the regular exemption that applies to everyone for Grum ben Azakin will apply to him too. So what we have here is, in the Mishnah, that somebody's digging the bar, digging in an existing bar, making noise, and it's a situation of Grum. Nofel far mekola kriya chayif. Ask the Gemara, v'na, v'may, name a kaira garmli. And here too we have two pshatim, how to learn the Gemara. One pshat is that the Mishnah says that the Baal HaBar is Chayiv. So one pshat in the Rishonim is that the Baal HaBar should say, why am I Chayiv? What caused the animal to fall was the sound that this digger was making. And I am not responsible. So nobody should be Chayiv. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that certainly the Baal HaBar cannot take an attitude that he's totally innocent here. Because if there was no bar, there would be no way for the animal to fall in. But what the Gemara means to say is, certainly it isn't he alone that should be responsible. He should be responsible together with the other individual who made the sound. And therefore, why does the Mishnah say that he's chayif and nezek sholem? He shouldn't be responsible for more than 50%. And the other 50% that was caused by the digger with his sound, with his grumma, he shouldn't be able, the Baal HaShor should not be able to collect. Answers the Gemara. Om Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Hamani Rav Nosan Hi, Dama Baal HaBar Hazeka Kovid, V'kol Eichad Ha'ef L'Shtalumi Mahai, M'Shtalumi Mahai. We just said a mouthful. The Farshim explained that there's two concepts that Rav Nosan is teaching us. The first concept Rav Nosan teaches us, and both of these concepts, as we're going to get deeper into the Shir Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to see the Rabbanim disagree. One concept Rav Nosan is teaching us is that it's possible to have two partners in a hezek. So in our case, where we have a joint situation, it's the digger who's making this noise and the Baal HaBar who created the bar, it's possible that we should have a joint that they should both be responsible. That's one concept that Rav Nosan teaches us. Another concept that Rav Nosan teaches us is that when you have a situation of hezek, where you have partners that created hezek, if for whatever reason, and Al Gemara is the perfect example, you can't collect damages from one, then all of the responsibility goes to the other individual. So here, let's understand. Since the person who's making the noise is not going to be responsible, because as we've been explaining, he's a grum ben azakin, so the Baal HaBar will be responsible for the entire damages. And to help us understand this concept, kol echad alek l'shtalumi mehai, ishtalumi mehai, the Mefarshim, let's talk about a number of scenarios. There's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin discusses that, let's say we have a bezdin of three individuals, and two of the individuals made a mistake in the psak, and they caused somebody to spend money to pay that he shouldn't have had to. And one individual, in other words, we had a psak, two against one, two dayanim against one. Then it turns out the two of the dayanim made an error, so they have to pay out of their pockets for the damages that they caused. The other dayan, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't say that you have to pay. Not only doesn't he have to pay, obviously, they don't have to pay his share. Why not? Because it's not a situation of hezek. It's a situation of incorrect psak. Then we have another situation. Actually, a machloikis rishonim. A machloikis of the Tor and the Ramah. What happens, and we've discussed such cases many times, where you have partners. You have partners in a shore, you have partners in a bar that do damage. And one partner, unfortunately, doesn't have the funds to pay for the damages. What will be the halacha do you take from the other partner? Some Rishonim say, yes, that's exactly what our Gemara is teaching us. The Rav Nosan is teaching us. Other Rishonim say, no, here we don't apply the case of Kol Hecha Delek L'Shtalumi Mehai, Ishtalumi Mehai. Why? One explanation is, it's not that one partner is exempt. He's not exempt. If the Eibishter will help, and he'll win the lottery, or he'll come upon somebody, he'll have to pay. It's just right now, unfortunately, Nebuch, he doesn't have the money. Or, they say deeper pshat, Rav Shimon Shkop says this pshat. At the moment the hezek took place, both partners were chayif. Not as a difficulty that one person, one of the partners, doesn't have the funds to pay. That doesn't mean he's, that's not called Ha'ech Delekulish Tulumi Mahai Ishtulumi Mahai. What does Ha'ech Delekulish Tulumi Mahai Ishtulumi Mahai mean? The case that we're talking about, where there were two partners in causing the damage, but one the halacha absolves, because he's only a gairim, teaches us Rav Nosson that if one of them is absolved, the other one has to carry the entire responsibility. Where do we see this concept? Says the Gemara, the Tanya. Shor shadochev is chaver labar. If an animal pushed another animal into a bar, bala shor chayiv, bala bar potter. The chacham hold, the bala shor is chayiv, the bala bar is potter. And again, what's Rashi's explanation? Right? This is the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rashi's explanation is that we always follow the first person that caused the damage. And the first person that caused the damage is the bala shor. The Baal Bar came second, he doesn't count. Tosfos has a whole different approach in the Gemara. I'm just going to quote it at the beginning, and then we're not going to learn the Gemara with Tosfos' approach. Tosfos' approach is that you only chayiv by a bar where the person or animal fell into the bar by himself. If an outside force caused this animal to fall into the bar, that isn't a situation of bar. But again, we're going to follow Rashi's Peshat. Reb Nosson Omer, Reb Nosson disagrees. And he says, Balashar Mashalam Mechza, or Balashar Mashalam Mechza. What does that mean? Because Rav Nosson says that you could have partners. And here the Balashar and the Balabar are partners. Ask the Gemara for Tanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa? Rav Nosson, I'm a Balashar Mashalam Gilm Chalokim, or Balashar Raviya. If Rav Nosson says that the Balashar and the Balabar are partners, they should pay 50-50. Why are they paying? That, why does the Braisa say that the Bala Shah pays 75% of the damages? The Bala Shah, the Bala Bar pays 75% of the damages, and the Bala Bar only pays, and the Bala Shah only pays 25%? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Haba Tam, Haba Mu'ud. By a Mu'ud, it's 50-50. By a Tam, it's going to be 75-25. Ask the Gemara. Let's understand why. Obatam Mikasover. What does Reb Nosson hold? How does Reb Nosson view this joint situation? Does he look at it? Ikasova Hai Kulea Zeka Ovid. For Hai Kulea Zeka Kovid. That each one of them really did a full act of damage. So then the halacha should be that each one did a whole act, but you can't collect double damages. So since you can't collect double damages, the halacha should be high mishalom palga for high mishalom palga. Each one of the mazikim should have to pay 50%. If, on the other hand, ikasover, high palga zeka ovid, for high palga zeka ovid, that each one did 50%, and 50 plus 50 equal 100%, balabar mishalom palga, the balabar should have to pay 50% for his 50%, and the balashor, who's taka tam, and pays only chatzin nezek, should pay revia, half of the chatzin nezek, v'idoch, and the last 25%, vidach river, masid, the nezek should lose. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Reb Nosson Dayanahu, Reb Nosson was a dayan, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Reb Nosson was the Rosh Bezdin, v'nochus umkededina, and he really understood what he was saying. Lo'olam kasavar, Reb Nosson's view of a situation where we have two mazikim working together to create hezek, he views it as high kulei hezek ovid for high kulei hezek ovid. Each one of them did a full-fledged act of hezek. So if each one did a full-fledged act of hezek, so the din, as the Gemara just said a moment ago, ought to be that the Baal Bar should pay 50% and the Baal Shah should pay half the percent. Or the kakashalach, l'shalom high palga, the Baal Shah should pay 50% for high and the Baal Bar palga, shim da amalei Baal Shah l'Baal Par. The Baal Shor, and again, let's remember, the Shor is a Tam. He says to the Baal Bar, Shitfusai my Hanali. I would never have to pay more than 50%. I'm Tam, never pays more than Chatzin Nezek. So the fact that I have here, you as a partner, should decrease my obligation. And what should it decrease my obligation? From 50% to 25%. And you pay the 75%, and I'll pay the 25%. Now, let's go slow. One word, we have to understand. And why is the Baal Bar paying 75%? Because really he ought to pay a whole 100%. Because what's the Gemara saying? High kulei azeka kovid for high kulei azeka kovid. So really he owes 100%. So whatever he pays less, he's a winner. So instead of paying 100, he only pays 75, and the Baal HaShoah will pay 25%. So then ask Tosfos and other Rishonim, it's really not fair. The Baal HaShoah, how much is he benefiting here? He has a benefit of 50%. He really should have paid Chatzi Nezek, it's a tam. Because of the situation, he benefits, and he goes down 50%. Instead of paying Chatzi Nezek, he only pays 25% of the Nezek. What is the benefit accruing to the Baal HaBor? 25%. He really should have paid 100%, and he ends up paying 75%. So where's the sense of equity? Why is the Baal HaShoah treated better than the Baal HaBor? That he gets a discount of 50%, and he only gets a discount of 25%. So one pshat, simple pshat, is that the Baal HaShoah is a tam. And since we have a precedent that the Torah is always lenient with a tam, the biggest raya, as we've been learning over and over again, is that a tam never pays chatzi nezek, never pays more than chatzi nezek. So again, here too, we're more lenient with the tam than we are with the bar. But there's another beautiful pshat. The tam is not chayiv more than chatzi nezek. So when we look at the nezek, we shouldn't look at the entire nezek. 50% of the nezek is off the table. That the tam has no relationship to. Now the other 50% is on the table, and then the Baal HaShoah and Baal HaBor are sharing. It's not that, so it's not to be looked at as one package deal, it's to look at each Chatzi Nezek separately. It's interesting, there's an interesting Tfuas Shor. The Mechaber paskins that you're not allowed to rely on the Shechita of a Goy. So the Mechaber also paskins, let's say a Jew and a Goy are shechting an animal together. Says the Mechaber that it's not a valid Shechita. And the Farshim asks why. So the Tfuah Shor explains that the basis of that Mechaber is our Gemara. Because our Gemara just taught us that when two partners join in causing a Hezek, it's each one did a full act. We don't look at it like he did half and he did half. Rather, each did a whole act. So it comes out of two people, one a Jew and one a Goy did a Shechita together. It's not that the Goy did a half a Shechita. The Goy did a whole Shechita. And the Jew did a whole Shechita. And we've just said a moment ago, a guy who does a whole Shechita is a Pasul Shechita. Vibay Seima, another way of understanding Reb Nosson's opinion, is Loyal Kusav a high Pal Gazek of it, a high Pal Gazek of it. The Baal HaShoah did a half, and the Baal HaBor did half. Or the Kakashalach. And so therefore we asked, if that is the way to view this act, Baal HaBor, Mishal and Palga, that the Baal HaBor should have to pay for half the Hezek. Obviously, he caused half the Hezek. Or Baal HaShoah only has to pay River, because he pays Chatzi of the Chatzi Nezek. It's a Tam. And the Gemara suggested if that were the way to look at this case, V'idach River, the other 25%, Nafsid, the Nezek ought to lose. Says the Gemara, Mishim Da'amalei Baal HaShoah Baal HaBor. The Baal HaShoah tells the Baal HaBor, and not Turi V'birich Ashkechei. Where do I find my dead animal? In your bar, at Kitlise. So as far as I'm concerned, I only have a claim to you. So mad islech lishtalum imahayich, whatever you could get the Baal HaShoah to contribute, fine. Mishtalimna, I'll take from him. Mad leslech lishtalum imahayich, mishtalimna mahach. Whatever we can't get from the Baal HaShoah, you're responsible. Why? Because what Reb Nosson is saying here is, kolech delech lishtalimna mahay, ishtalimna mahay. Amar Rava. Says Rav another did. Hiniach even api bar. If somebody put an even on top of a bar, or bar shav in this bar, and another animal, and an animal tripped on that shore, on that stone, the nuf of a bar, and now falls into the bar. Says the Gemara, bonu machlokes Rav Nosson Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, this is the exact same situation as the machlokes of Nosson Rabbanan. That could we have two mazikim? And again, we're learning Rashi's pshat. Could we have two mazikim combined? According to Rashi, Rabbanan hold that you only look at the first individual, you don't look at the Baal HaBor, you only look at the Baal HaEvin, and according to Reb Nosson, we look at both of them. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, obviously it's the exact same situation. Why would we think different? Answers the Gemara, Mada Tema, Hasan Dom Baal HaBor Le Baal HaShoah. The person owns the bar says to the Baal HaShoah, Ila Bir Didi, if not for my bar, tur d'doch have a katalei. Your animal could have killed my animal without pushing you into the bar. Aval hocha matz amalei bal evin lebal bar. In this case, the person with the stone tells the person with the bar, ila bar d'doch, if there were no bar here, amin d'di, a stone itself might have an avda. It's not really going to do any damage. Because have a meskaba, if an animal trips on a stone, have enough of a kai, it picks itself up. Kamash Milan teaches us, Rav Nosson, that he could say to him, Elav Evan, lo have enough labira. He could say to him, you're right, without a bar it wouldn't have died, but without an Evan it wouldn't have fallen into the bar. And that's why Rav Nosson considers it a situation of a partnership. Itmar, says the Gemara, Shar v'shar, psulei ha-migdashim. If you have a shar, and a shar of a psulei ha-migdashim shenachu, my nihu, it's interesting. The Mashal says to take out this line. My knee sharp bar do I parakle. And goes back to something we discussed the other day. Our Gemara is now going to teach us, as we get deeper into the sugya, our Gemara is now going to teach us that a shar psulei ha-migdashim is not always responsible if it does damage. But it's machlokes rishonim, what is or isn't included in the category of a shar psulei ha-migdashim. I'll tell you what everybody agrees is certainly included. We know that halacha is that if we make an animal hegdish, and then the animal becomes disqualified, and the halacha is that if the animal becomes disqualified, we have to be paid it, we have to redeem it. The din is that that animal, even though after it's redeemed and it's no longer hegdish, it's not like a regular animal. It has to be treated with a certain level of respect. And therefore, it's still considered to a degree hegdish, and therefore, it's not considered shor re'ehu. That everybody agrees. The machlokes, which is the reason the Marshal puts this line into parentheses, is regarding a bechor. We know that halacha is that a bechor has to be given to a kohen. And the kohen, if the animal is fine, has to bring that bechor like a carbon. It's treated like a carbon shlomim. If the animal becomes a balmum, the kohen can eat the animal as a regular animal. But even then, there's a certain level of respect that the animal has to be treated with. The machlokes harishonim is even an animal which was a bechor and given to a kohen and then became a balmum also considered like a shor psulei migdashim, which is exempt from the dinim of shor re'ehu, or that's really considered a shor re'ehu? And the difference is, and that machlokes is the machlokes of this line, which talks about that shor should be kept in parentheses or not. Abai Omer, Misham Chatzin Nezek. So we have these two animals together. One animal you could collect damages from, it's a regular animal. The other animal is a shor psulei migdashim, which you can't collect damages from. You pay Chatzin Nezek. So one animal will pay, the other, and you'll only be able to collect Chatzin Nezek. Ravina Omer, Bishalom Ravina Nezek. You'll pay Ravina Nezek. Says the Marhava Habitam. Both of them are referring to a tam. Hok Rabbonin. One opinion holds like the Rabbonin, for Hok Rab Nosin. Let's explain this. Since both of these animals are a tam, both animals are only going to be responsible to pay Chatzin Nezek. Since both animals are only going to have to pay Chatzin Nezek, so according to Rab Nosin, each one will pay Chatzin Nezek. We'll have two partners. So Rav Nosson says that when we have two animals together, they're both considered partners, and each one will pay Ravi Nezek, and the Nezek will end up with Chatzin Nezek. Born and whole, we only collect from one, because we don't subscribe to the concept, according to Rav Nosson, if we can't collect from the Psulei Migdashim, we'll collect from the other animal. According to Rabbanan, we only can collect from one animal, and we only can collect Ravi Nezek. Ask the Rishonim, if that's the way to understand this machlokes, it's the machlokes we already learned three times. The Rav Nosson says, why do we have to teach it to us another time? So Hashem said, beautiful teretz. Till now we spoke always the cases where there were two different types of mazikim coming together. A shor and a bor and an evan. Here we're combining two identical mazikim, a shor and a shor. Maybe even Rav Nosson, who says that two mazikim can come together, that's only when the two mazikim are two different type of mazikim. but two identical mazikim, will Rav Nosson also agree that they're both considered mazikim? That's what the chiddush is, that they are considered both mazikim. Ibai say mahava krabonim. Both of them, both of these sokim represent the opinion of the rabbonim. Have a tam, have a mu'ud. A mu'ud, you're only going to collect from one. So mu'ud pays half of the damage, the one mu'ud, that's not a hegdish. And if it's a tam, the only one that pays is the one that's not hegdish, and he pays half, which is a revi'ah. Ikedamri, abai amachatzi nezek. Another way of explaining this machloikis is that Abai's opinion is that in this case you take chatzi nezek, vira mekuli nezek. Hava haba mu'ud. Again, how would we understand this machloikis? We're talking about an animal, the animals are mu'ud. Hak rabbonim. The rabbonim say we don't subscribe to the concept hakaych delekel ishtulim mehai, ishtulim mehai. So each animal did half. So the animal that's a shore ayu pays his half, and the other half you lose. On the other hand, the brisa that says that you collect nezek sholem follows the opinion of Rav Nosson. So if you can't collect from the animal that's a mekdoshim, you collect the entire damage from the shore ayu because of the concept kolech delekel ishtulim mehai, ishtulim mehai. Ibai seima, havak Rav Nosson. Both opinions follow the opinion of Rav Nosson. Have a mu'ud. By a mu'ud, we collect the entire nezek shalom. Have a tam. We collect, the most you could collect is chatzi nezek. Amar Rava, says Rava, shor v'adam shadach v'labar. If a shor and an adam push an animal into a bar. So what do we have here? We have here three mazikim coming together. A shor, an adam, and a bar. Says Tosfos, we're not referring to a situation that the person deliberately pushed the shor into the bar. Because if the person deliberately pushed the shor into the bar, then he would be responsible for everything. We're talking about that it was an accident. Still, are the mu'ud lo'ilam. So that all three are considered mazik. The Ktzais disagrees. The Ktzais says that even if the adam did it deliberately, it's still considered that the shor and the bar are partners. Because the only time he says, the chiddush of the Ktzais, the only time the Ktzais says that the adam would be solely responsible is if the adam would, let's say, take a fire, chas v'sholem, and burn something with it. So then he's solely responsible. Here he didn't burn, he threw him into a bar, and the shor helped. So we don't ignore the shor bar, even though the adam was amazed. But the Ktzais is maskim that in the such circumstances where the Adam did it deliberately, he would take 50% and the Shor and the Bar take the other 50%. But again, let's learn the Gemara simple, like Tosfos. The Shor and Adam pushed the animal into a bar. So le'inyan nezakim, as far as Nezik is concerned, kulan chayovim. Because a Shor that does damage, an Adam that does damage, a Bar that does damage, a chayiv nezek. So all three of them are responsible. But now we have a complication that the Rishonim bring up. What happens if the shor? So what would it be on a simple case? Each one will pay a third. But let's say this shor is a tam, and a tam pays chatzi nezek. So here the Rishonim say the tam would only pay a sixth, and the other sixth would have to be divided between the shor and the bar. I mean, between the Adam and the Bar. Linya Abedvarim. We know that besides for Nezek, there's Tsar Ripui Shevis and Boishis. But Tsar Ripui Shevis and Boishis, only an Adam pays. V'dmei V'lodis. Or the Aloch is that if a woman miscarried, because of this, Adam Chayif, the Adam is Chayif for all of it. The Shor Bar, there's no Chiv of Abedvarim by a Shor. There's no Chiv of Abedvarim by a Bar, it'll be Potter. Linya Kaifer. The halach is that if a mu'ud kills somebody, he has to pay kaifer. Or the halach is that if a mu'ud kills an evet kanani, no matter what the value of the evet is, we learned this many times, you pay shloshim shel evet. So there, the shor takes the entire responsibility. Adam ubar apturim. Because Adam doesn't pay kaifer, and he doesn't pay dmei velodis. Why doesn't the Adam pay dmei velodis? Because it's a situation of kimlei b'drabimnei. And as Chizki explained, even if it will be a case where the person won't be mechuyev mitzvah, Let's say there was no hasra. Chizkiya says that if the person did an aveira for which there is a chiv of misa, even if in this specific situation we aren't going to administer misa, we still apply the concept of kimlei of the rabbinate. So halacha will be when you kaif of shloshim shel adet, shor will pay it, adam because of kimlei of the rabbinate, and bar that never pays kaif of shloshim shel adet, p'turim. So the shor will take. The Baal Shah will take that entire responsibility. Linyan Kalim, Vishar Psulek Mdashim, if it was Kalim that fell in, or Vishar Psulek Mdashim, Adam Vishar Chayovim, or Bar, a Bar doesn't pay not for Kalim, nor does a Bar pay if it did damage to the Vishar, that's a Psulek Mdashim that we spoke about at the top of the Amid. My Tama, why is there a reason that the Shar, that a Bar, doesn't pay for an animal which is in the category psul medashim that got hurt in the bar? Amakra, because the pasuk says for meis yiloi, when is a bar responsible? When is the baal bar responsible? Only if the animal that fell in is a misha meishaloi. When the animal belongs, it's a regular animal. Yotzezeh. But if the animal that fell in was a sharp psul medashim, she'en meishaloi. Ask the Gemara. The memory of Pshita Leila Rava, does that mean that to Rav it's obvious that if a sharp Sulei Mekdashim falls into a bar, you're not chayiv for that shor? Ask the Gemara, that isn't so obvious to Rava, because we learned the Gemara that when a boy Leila Rava, Rava actually asked the question. The boy Rava, sharp Sulei Mekdashim shenaf labar mahu, what is the din regarding sharp Sulei Mekdashim that fell into a bar? Do we say that meshialoi means the misha meshialoi that only a shah that's owned by the nizik, then there's a dinner bar? Yotzeh, but in a shah psulei mekdashim that isn't in the category she'ena meshialoi, isn't in the category of a shah that you chayu for if it fell into your bar? Or dilma, that meshialoi comes to teach us a different din. Lebaile metaplum b'mavelu da'asa. But a mace, but the shor, it makes no difference what the shor is. You'll always be chayif. So from here it seems that to Rava was obvious that if the shor is a shor psulei mekdashim, you potter. Isn't it a question that Rava asked? Answers the Gemara. You're correct. First, Rava had a question. What the din ought to be. However, Basa de Baya, first he had the question, how the pashta, and then he answered that if it's a shor psulei mekdashim, the balabar is not chayif. El balametaplum asked the Gemara, balametaplum veil menale. Again, the Torah uses the words vames yeloi. Vames yeloi could have one of two definitions. Either can mean that if there's a carcass, we spoke about this many times, that if a carcass that gets damaged, who is responsible? Who takes the value of the carcass, albeit it's a very low value? The nizik? Or it could come to teach us that a sharp Sulei Mekdashim is exempt. The Gemara is saying now that the Pasuk Vames Yeloi, which the Torah states by Bar, is coming to teach us that a sharp Sulei Mekdashim, you're not chai by Bar. But if so, how will you know the Baal Metaplum Benevela? And as the Sefer Torah Chaim explains, it's because he asks a simple question, and who says that the din has to be the Baal Metaplum B'Nevela? So he says like this, it's obvious that the Aloch is Baal Metaplum B'Nevela, because that's the word Vames Yeloi mean. The only way we could apply that Vames Yeloi should mean something else is that we have another source to teach us Baal Metaplum B'Nevela. And if we'll have another source to teach us the Baal Metaplum B'Nevela, then we could say Vames Yeloi comes to exclude a sharp Sulei Mekdashim. So ask the Gemara where, now that we've established that Rava says Vames Yeloi comes to exclude a sharp Sulei Mekdashim, so the question is, from where do we know that Locha by Bar, a Baal Metaplum B'Nevela? Ask the Gemara, Baal Metaplum B'Nevela Menole, ask the Gemara, Nafgalei Men Ames Yeloi D'Shor. Because the Torah uses that word, those words by shor, and just like by shor, we say vames yeloi means betapim ba'avela, so too will we say by bar. Ask the Gemara, my chazus, why you say Devameis Yiloi, the Shah Mafkalayla Bail Matap Navela? Why are we saying that when the Torah uses the word Meis Yiloi by Shar, it comes to teach us that the Nizik is responsible for the carcass? Vameis Yiloi the Bar. And when the Torah uses the word Vameis Yiloi by Bar, comes to teach us Mafkaslay, Lamesha Meshaloi, and to tell us that you're not Chayiv, that the Baal HaBor is not Chayiv by Shar Psula Mekdoshim. Maybe Epechano. Maybe say that Vameis Yiloi by Bar is teaching us Bailam Atapam Nevela. And Bailam will also be Chayiv for Shar Psula Mekdoshim. We'll learn the din of Bailam Atapam Nevela by every Mazak of Shar from Bar. And Vameis Yiloi by Shar will teach us that you're not Chay for Shar Psula Mekdoshim. In other words, to reduce the Gemara's question to one sentence, one of the Vameis Yiloi's is coming to teach us that you're not Chay v'Shar P'sulim Mekdoshim. The Gemara is saying that we're saying the word, that that's the by Bor, not by Shar. The Gemara's question is, maybe Shar should have that din, not Bor. Answers the Gemara. Epechano. Answers the Gemara. Mestabra. P'tur gabe Bor. If I'm going to make an exemption, it makes more sense to apply the exemption by Bor. Why? Because we find the Torah is lenient that you're not chai by Kalim by Bor. Ask the Gemara, Adirabba, P'tor by Gabishar. We find that the Torah is lenient by Shor. She came part of Chatzi Nezik. A Tam only pays Chatzi Nezik. Answer the Gemara, Kuli Nezik Melis Le'ashkechon. Which means as follows. We find leniencies. Bor, we have a tremendous leniency. We spoke about it yesterday. If Kalim fall into the Bor, you're totally exempt. By Shor, we never find total exemption. So since there's a precedent that Bor there is total exemption, we say that we expand that exemption that you're not Chai B'Shar P'sulim Mekdoshim. Shor, where there was never a precedent of total exemption, is not the place that we're going to start creating exemptions of Shor P'sulim Mekdoshim.
Wow.